Greetings again, everyone. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. You might be thinking, does he know anything else besides Ephesians 1? Pretty hard to top Ephesians 1. Even Steve said Ephesians 1 through 3 talked about a mini theology and compression today. But my theme that I want to address tonight is found here, that sometimes we forget or not aware of is significant. I was thinking while we were singing, never get tired of the hymns of the cross. Never get tired of the songs that speak of Calvary, especially when it takes my mind back to when God began to do his work. And we as his people should never get tired exploring all of the depth and the fullness and the richness of our salvation. That's what I have tried to do for our Lord's Supper. When you do it for 23 plus years, it's hard not to duplicate because you start running out of, so to speak, different passages of the dress, because again, you're coming back to the cross, you're coming back to Christ. And one of the things I started some time ago was the Riches of Divine Grace series. And what that was a series that speaks of the moment of our salvation. Instantaneously, many things happen that we didn't feel it. We didn't initiate it. God initiated it on our behalf. But it's stated in the scripture as in, not imperative, but as indicative, that statement, the fact that we need to be aware of and know of to enjoy our great salvation. And we have covered a lot of things in that series. The theme, Riches of His Grace, comes from verse 7 of our passage tonight. We've talked about forgiveness. Truly took time to understand our lost estate and what we are saved from. Reconciled, free from the law, having access to God. Our salvation was the part of the eternal plan of God. He foreloved us, predestined us, elect. We were seen as the elect of God, chosen and called. We studied the doctrine of propitiation, justification, what it means to be redeemed. We were a gift from the Father to the Son. We were delivered from the power of darkness. We were accepted in the Beloved. And some time ago, actually before, I believe it was before COVID hit, the last one I did was the Much More Care of God. And all of the different things that, because we're His people, we have much more care of us versus when we were in a lost estate, meaning God cares and displays His goodness to man in general, even more so to us as His people. And I went to several passages of scripture to show us that truth. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3, follow along. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Yet that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He had made it accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this sweet and marvelous and glorious passage to speak to the grandeur and the greatness of our salvation and your work on our behalf and how you position us from lost children of wrath to now accepted in the beloved, all because of your amazing grace. There was nothing in us, it was in spite of us, that you chose us before the foundation of time. And so, Father, we do pray, as we ponder another element of your great salvation, to show the seriousness of your promise, the seriousness of the endeavor of each member of the triune God. And so, Father, we pray that you would comfort and encourage our heart tonight, and afterward we will be partaking of the elements for your glory and our appreciation and gratitude. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in the passage that I just read, gave it a breathtaking view of our salvation, one that dazzles, amazes, and excites, where we are tempted to say, this is almost too good to be true. And at the end of the passage, it is as if God said, if you do not believe me, I left a pledge behind as proof until you come home to be with me. Notice again verse 13 and 14. This is after the incredible panorama view of salvation. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, notice, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That is astounding. Yes, everything Paul said here in this chapter, that in the passage that I just read, was absolutely astounding. And God said in verses 13 and 14, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise as the guarantee or the pledge. Remember, when our Lord, at the Last Supper, he said that he was leaving, and the disciples became sad, and he had promised that he is sending another helper. And that's found in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This was so grabbed the apostles that several days later, when the day of Pentecost had come, in Acts chapter 4, they were anticipating this promise. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. which he said, you have heard from me. And that promise was the Holy Spirit. Here in our passage that we read in Ephesians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is seen as our seal and our pledge from God, which describes our salvation and his ownership of us. Elsewhere it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, who also had sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as the guarantee. So you see the dual use of the word seal and guarantee, and I'm using the word guarantee synonymous with the word pledge, and you'll see in a moment why. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a few chapters later, verse 5, he said, now, he who had prepared us for this very thing is God, who also had given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Even later on in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The idea of the word sealing pictured an ancient practice of placing soft wax on one's letters or property, which then is stamped with a very unique and distinguished mark that unmistakably identified who the owner is. And so it would add that God would take a custom of the time and saying, I put my wax on you and my seal on you, and you belong to me. I own you. You are mine and I am yours. It symbolizes security, protection, ownership, authority, and authenticity. The word guarantee has also been translated the word in the Old King James, earnest or pledge. The guarantee was a financial down payment or deposit given in good faith that the remaining payments would be forthcoming to complete the business transaction. This word communicates the idea of a pledge to promote the certainty and of assurance of our salvation. When you look at how it is used, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, when you are done here, he is going to bring it home to finish off what he had started. That is the same idea, the concept, when we have the idea of sealing and guarantee or earnest or pledge. He has given us the Holy Spirit. You may not feel everything that I had just read to you in Ephesians chapter 1. God said, you may not sense it. You may not feel forgiven. There are times when you may not feel reconciled and propitiated. But nevertheless, no matter what you think and how you feel, if I have placed my seal on you with the Holy Spirit, you're mine. Good and done. In the context of our salvation, this sealing and pledging or guarantee, it points to God's ownership of the believer who had been bought with a price, which is the precious blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So when we think about this, beloved, these concepts and these thoughts, let it encourage your heart that when God did his work, often we talk about the cross and all we do is look to the cross. That's good, nothing wrong with that. But God gave us much more to understand what happened at the cross. And when we had truly come to salvation and come to Christ, he, and one of those marvelous things that belonged in the realm of the riches of his grace, it he sealed us, and the Holy Spirit seal upon us, permanent dwelling, is the guaranteed down payment, the earnest, the pledge, until God takes us home and finish what he had started. Those are encouraging words. Those need to encourage your heart. The Bible made it clear that We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit himself is the actual seal as seen in 2 Corinthians 1:22 that I read earlier. It authenticates the Christian as the child of God. And one of the things that we need to come to grip with is all true believers receive the seal of the Holy Spirit because of their salvation. Romans 8:9 says it this way, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you," and then he makes this astounding statement. "Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If the Spirit doesn't reside and abide within, you are not saved, no matter what your lips say." Salvation is based on the sealing and earnest or pledge or guarantee of the Spirit of God within us. The Bible nowhere teaches us and commands us to seek this sealing. It happens. It is God's work on our behalf in our salvation. And it happened at the moment of our salvation. If you remember way back when I started this Riches of His Grace series, there was a lot of things that was in unique about this group of doctrines was the fact that you can't necessarily feel it, sense it. You did nothing about it. God did it on your behalf. And it all happened instantaneously at salvation. Everything lined up, whether you realize it or not. That's what the Scripture teaches. This is one of those. And one of the things that in those verses that we read earlier were talked about in 2 Corinthians 1, sealed it and given it the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee, or same book, 2 Corinthians 5, who had given it the Spirit as our guarantee. And he also said in both cases in Ephesians, till the day and for the day of our redemption. Clearly you see that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 if you would. Romans chapter 8, please. I could read it, but I'd rather your eyeballs to see it. For those taking note, Romans 8, verse 20 through 23. What we have here is the result of the fall, the curse on humanity and creation. But I want you to notice what will kind of trigger it. And notice the language it uses and everything I just taught you, you should see it now. Because sometimes we miss it because we don't see the little phrase that's about to trip us to think, oh my goodness, he's talking about this. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glory of liberty to the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs and together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So the first fruit speaks to the sealing and guarantee of the Holy Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit is himself, the permanent dwelling, all of the other good stuff that comes with the element of the Holy Spirit work on our behalf. And so we see here in Romans 8, we see in the context of the curse and the hope of the future of redemption, complete redemption, redemption fulfilled. And Paul said it this way, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Tremendous statement here. This is God's guarantee that he will ultimately fulfill his promise of eternal life with a resurrected and glorified body. It's simply saying that God is saying, what I have begun, I will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. He which begun a good work will complete it, right? In the day of redemption, the day of when we all go home. The Biblical Doctrine Systematic Theology book by Master Seminary said this, quote, the Holy Spirit is God's pledge, down payment, and deposit that certifies with impeccable assurance the certainty that what God began, he will also complete, end quote. So here is food for your meditation, food for thought, food for your soul to think and reflect and ponder on the great salvation that we have that includes the sealing and the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. And all of the marvelous things that we read and are dazzled and excited by in Ephesians 1, he can bring it to the end and said, I have sealed the promise, this guarantee. That's why in everything that I have said up to this point, that's why Paul referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of promise, found in Ephesians 1, verse 13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So all of these things were promised and given to us by our Lord initially at the Last Supper. They are awaiting for it in Acts chapter 1 for the promise of the Father of another helper. And we see in more detail theologically and doctrinally that it is the sealing and guarantee of our salvation, and it will be all the way and guarantee it to our resurrection unto life, where we will be forever and eternally with him. When we talk about the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, it all gets started where it all starts in regeneration. Regeneration, God takes deadness and creates life there through the Spirit. When that life comes, several things lines up. This being one of them, other things that we're instantaneously baptized by Christ with the Spirit into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit's permanent dwelling in the believer begins. The Holy Spirit fills and controls the believer throughout his life. The Spirit now produces spiritual fruit in the life of the believer. Also, the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to the believer for service to the edifying of the church. And the list goes on. And the sealing and the guarantee are in that category and cluster of great doctrine that all flows from regeneration. Without life, none of this will come to fruition. And when God said his work of redemption upon us, that's what he did. And so may we be encouraged with these words. Let's pray. Father, short method, but wonderful and sweet. These are encouraging and comforting words that we need to hear. You gave it to us to comfort us, to encourage us, to strengthen us in our walk with you. We are to ponder and reflect these great truths for our soul. And so, Father, we do pray that you would help us to meditate and reflect, though we have no command here, but we do and should and ought take time to give thanks to you for your abundant kindness in our salvation and assuring that we will make it to the end, to the finish line, so to speak, to be forever with you. It is the sealing which authenticates and shows your ownership of us, which we gladly enjoy. Father, may you be honored and glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.